Why settle for court jesters when you can have three kings? Here are your hosts, Roy, Javari, and Dan. It's the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast.
Everybody, welcome to the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast, or Kings, depending on your vernacular. Ladies and gentlemen, I was a little bit under the weather last week, but I'm back like Ross Raps, right? The Bears had a draft. We got a lot to discuss. They made some picks. I like the draft. Some people kind of all right with the draft. I think a lot of the media love our draft, but you would love our draft if you understand what the Chicago Bears were trying to build. I love the Loveland pick. We kind of mentioned Loveland. We kind of thought they would go to Tyler Warren, but they play different games, and I see why the Chicago Bears picked Loveland. He's more of a Laporta clone than Warren, who had a lot of manufactured touches in Penn State, and he's a bigger pass catcher, and he doesn't get as much separation as Loveland. So how y'all feeling about the draft, players?
Man, I'm telling you right now, March Madness. That's why I got it going in the background by Future, March Madness, because, man, this offense is about to go crazy. Seriously go crazy with all of the 12 personnel, like Ben Johnson stated, everything is going to look the same, but yet it's going to be so many different concepts being ran out of that one particular set. You know, you can do so much with it and do so many things. So I love the Colston Loveland pick. Of course, with me being here in Michigan, I saw him firsthand, man. And bro, dude is a problem. I didn't think he would be there when we picked. In all honesty, I thought he was going to be gone. But dude is a matchup nightmare, man. You know, and it's, of course, you go 12 personnel. And then on top of that, you're, like I stated and I posted on X earlier in the week, you know what I'm saying, where I stated where, like, look, let's talk ball. If you go in the double tight, you know what I'm saying, if you go in the double tight and single back set, then okay, you go with the double tight. Or if you go no back, you know what I'm saying, let's say you go double tight, three wide outs, no back, you know what I'm saying, with Caleb in the gun, now you have a linebacker possibly trying to check Luther Burden and a nickel corner trying to check Colston Loveland. Good luck. Which, with you doing that, that's going to force a lot of one-on-ones on the outside with Rome and with DJ. Oh, my God. Come on, man. One-on-one, because defenses are going to be tired of getting gashed up the seams in the middle all day, every day. All we need Caleb to be is accurate. That's it. If he's accurate with the ball, man, he's going to throw for 5,000 yards. Easy in this offense. With his talent level, with everything that he has going on, with Ben Johnson calling the plays, He's gonna be damn. If he don't throw for 5,000, he's gonna be damn near close to throw for 5,000, 4,500 territory. That's what I'm talking with this type of offense. What we know, what Ben Johnson can call, and everything else. I love the Mbanga pick. I love that pick. The running back from Rutgers. That is the hammer. That is the workhorse back. That is the. Remember when I stated before? I was like, we need a guy that when you know late in the game when it come. Fourth quarter, man, it hurt to tackle this motherfucker. He is that guy. It's going to hurt tackling him. He reminds me of Jordan Howard that we had, you know, but I think he's a little faster, even though Jordan Howard may have been bigger, you know, a much bigger back. But man, dude is and folks, don't jump down my throat when I say this, but if you look at his measurables and his size, he's the exact same build as Ashton Jeanty. The exact same build. If I'm not mistaken, the exact same build, the bowling ball type, you know, low center to the ground, hard to hit, thick all the way around type back. So why can't we place him into the same rotation again with Wheeler, with Johnson, you know what I'm saying, and with Swift? There's nothing wrong with a running back by committee with everybody saying, oh, we got to bring in another back. No, we don't. What's wrong with the running back room that we got? We either going to get it done or we ain't, flat out. But as far as the draft picks, My favorite pick, of course, was Luther Burden III. That was my favorite pick all the way around. Of course, I'm going to be like that. You already know me. But all the way around, dude is a dog. I mean, dude is a dog. And this really would have been a first-round pick, but I guess they were saying the knock on Luther Burden for why he went where he went was the fact that they said when he's not involved in the offense, he can check out mentally. And I get that with a young player, you know what I'm saying? But he's everything, and I want to say everything that they say Deebo Samuel was. Again, we said the same thing with Velus Jones, and Velus Jones had the potential. It's just he didn't live up to the potential. I do believe that Luther Burden will live up to that potential, and the fact that he has the likes of Rome, the likes of DJ, you know, and everything else that's there ahead of him, that he has guys that's already there before him that's been all pro. Of course, you know what I'm saying? We got Rome Odunze, which is probably the only second-year guy that's the other veteran. We got Zacchaeus that we picked up from Washington or whatever. Him and DJ are the only, you know, pros, the veterans that's in that wide receiver room. That wide receiver room
and
is really young.
Devin Duvernay.
And Devin Duvernay, yes. That wide receiver room is very young. So, it's just like, man, it's young and explosive. It's speed all the way around. And it's guys that can actually play. So, my picks, like I said, I love the picks. I love the left tackle that we picked up from Boston College.
Ozzie.
I love the draft. I love the draft all the way around. So I don't have any poo-poo picks or, you know, like, damn, I wish we could have went here instead of picking this. Nah, I love the picks, man. I don't get why everybody bitching.
Yeah, man, I you know, I sit back and I look at the draft, and top to bottom, we got a really, really good draft that the Bears was able to come up with. I think Poles, those guys, they went out, they executed that plan in the draft. Now, we're going to have to see these players execute their games on the field, you know what I mean? Execute the game plan that Ben Johnson puts together and so on and so forth. But, you know, from a personnel standpoint or from a talent standpoint, these guys are not lacking in talent anywhere, you know what I mean? You got Colston Loveland. I love that pick. Yeah, Tyler Warren was the guy that a lot of people was looking at. But if you look at it, to me, I think Colston Loveland has a longer career playing at a high level, in my opinion, because he can do so much more in an offense than what Tyler Warren can do. Tyler Warren is tough. I'm not taking nothing from him. But Colston Loveland, he's got something else, you know what I mean? There's some special talent there athletically, right? So he's an athlete. He's a really good athlete out there. So more explosive, things like that. So when you look at a team and you look at a roster and what the Bears are trying to build, you see they're trying to build an explosive roster. An explosive, you know, to the running back. I mean, you know, you touched on my man's that was drafted out of Rutgers, the running back. Can't pronounce his name yet, but so excuse me, but I'll get it together. I'll get it together sooner or later. But that dude, if you look at what he does on film, one of the things that stood out, and a lot of people was pointed out a little bit, is his blocking ability. His ability to pick up blocks in the backfield, pick up the blitz. Bro, he's knocking people down.
Knocking them out, bro.
Knocking people down. Pancaking people, bro. And you know what I'm saying? So it's like, we don't see that from Bears running backs that often. We've seen a little bit of it from Roschon Johnson, but he start getting them head injuries, man. You know what I mean? But this kid, you know, he's got some violence to his game, and you like to see that on the football field. So I think it's a really good draft. You know, it's just a matter of executing, man, the game plan. And the players actually going out there and doing it.
Is it
Manungai?
Is it
Manungai?
Manungai.
Manungai. Okay.
Yeah. Manungai. That's it. But dude is talented, man. So, you know, that's what we were saying. You can get a running back later on in the draft, and I think they did a really good job with him. That was a really good pickup where they picked him up. And I think, you know, the tight end, the left tackle, the defensive players we got. I mean, they did their job. They did their job. And that's what we were saying. They need to dig deep. They need to find gems. And from a talent standpoint, they found gems in this draft, straight up.
Yeah, they did a good job. I think the draft, the biggest part that got people, the fan base worked out was the day three picks, right? Because they didn't get the running back, because the media and everybody told you the Bears needed a running back. They needed to trade up to get Ashton Jensen. And so when that didn't happen, it just set off this whole feeling with the draft, right? And I think that if there's any negative connotations with the draft, it comes from that. But you got to look at the big picture. We already said it. Like, we know that running back, you can do running back by committee. And the running backs last year didn't look as good as they actually were because the offensive line was so trash, right? DeAndre Swift didn't look as good as he had the worst season in his career, yards per carry. He never had a 3.8 yard. It's not like this is every year thing, bro. He usually gets 4 yards, 4.5 yards a carry, 4.2, 4.4. Same thing with Roshan. So we know that if the line plays better, the running backs are going to look better. So, yes, I want him to run it back like a lot of other people. But you can still do the running back by committee like most NFL teams do if you don't have a superstar back. So If you remove that, I think a lot of people will feel better about the draft. And also, like you guys said, out of all the day three picks, like I like Hippolyte, I like the Newman guy, I like the Zach Frazier cornerback. But to me, they don't seem like projects, which is good. Because that's what you're getting on day three. You get a project backup dude that you can develop, because that's what it is. So people should never get upset about day three picks. And yeah, out of all those day three picks, yeah, Manung guy seems like the guy that can come in and contribute right away. I ain't saying he's going to be your lead dog back and he's going to rush for 1,000 yards. Roy did not say that. I'm saying that I can see him in a rotation. You can play Swift, give Roshan and him some carries, and you just come with a three-headed monster, just wear teams down over time. I can definitely see that.
They both are, just for context, folks, I want you to understand this. And again, I'm not saying that they're both the type, the same player, but Kyle Manung guy was a Big Ten, or was a Big Ten player of the year, okay? Was one of the Big Ten players of the years, you know what I'm saying? All Big Ten players selected. Mm-hmm. Ashton Jeanty is 5'8", 211, right? Kyle Manung guy is 5'8", 211. So when I say they're the exact same size of that bowling ball structure, to where it's just a mini juggernaut, right? You think of Juggernaut from X-Men, just a ball of just destruction. Just, you know what I'm saying? Give them the ball and let him go to work, right? Same exact thing. I'm not saying that, you know, they both have the same exact skill set, but again, this is running back by committee. And you can allow Manung guy to be your knuckles per se, while DeAndre Swift can be our Sonic. And that's the honest to God truth, man. It's running back by committee. Again, in Detroit, it was running back by committee. So and I want people to understand that, because again, it wasn't just one guy. You know what I'm saying? In Detroit, it was never gonna be one guy. Their offense isn't built on being one guy. So again, in Chicago, It just because it's one more guy or two more guys or three more guys, long as it's by committee, and long as what we're doing is productive at the end of the day, that's all that matter. Long as we getting, you know, 100, 120, 130, 140, 150 yards rushing a game, to where we can alleviate that pressure off of our quarterback and allow defenses to play honest and not stack the box. Again, if you stack the box against this team, good luck. Okay.
Yeah.
Because you're going to get beat one on one. I promise you, you're not locking down. If you lock down DJ Moore, I promise you ain't locking down Roma Dunze. Okay? Not one-on-one. I put money on that. I guarantee I put money on that. One of them is going to be open. One of them is going to be open. So stack the box if you want to. Good luck. You better get to Caleb before you get rid of the ball. Plain and simple.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing, man. Like,
yeah,
you know, and Bears fans, man, they're just so, you can't please people, man. You can't please them at all. You know what I mean? They're never going to be pleased. They're never going to be satisfied, no matter what way or what direction the Bears go. Let's be real. Last year, what was the talk, right? They wanted Brock Bowers, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody was upset that they didn't get Brock Bowers that year, right?
Yep.
And that was who they wanted to get. And now you turn around and you get a tight end this year. People still mad. They hate Cole Kmet. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm glad you mentioned 12 personnel, Devorah.
Yeah.
Because Cole Kmet is not a bum, bro.
At all.
I you know what I mean? I'm trying to understand where people think he's a bum. He's not a bum. He's 26 years old. He's on a decent contract. He's not getting paid a ton of money. You know what I'm saying? You got to have a backup tight end. You got to have two or three tight ends in the NFL nowadays, right? So who doesn't have two or three tight ends? You know what I mean? And when you can run 12 personnel out there and you got one guy that's 6'7" working over the middle and big, can box out and do what he wants to do. And then you got another guy that can got wiggle, that could, you know what I mean? That could run, that could elude or be evasive out there. It's pick your poison, bro. You know what I'm saying? When you're talking about the defense, right? Guys are going to be able to eat. Now, are guys going to get, because we have so many weapons, guys are not going to get 50, 60, 70, 80 catches. Everybody's not going to get 1,000 yards in this offense. But when you're called upon, guys will be open. All they got to do is make the plays and catch the ball. Execute. That's all they got to do. And they will be successful in this offense. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, if you're looking at stats, if you're a fantasy guy, a fantasy guru, and you're looking at stats, you know, you're not going to pick up Cole Kmet in the first round of the draft.
No.
You're not going to pick up Colston Loveland, because those guys are not going to get 80, 90 catches like a Travis Kelce would, but they will get 550 catches. They will get 540, 600 yards apiece. You know what I'm saying? And they will be productive from that standpoint. So, you know, understand the game of football before we act like it's the end of the world and things are not going our way and oh, doom and gloom again. You know what I mean? It's not always doom and gloom, man. You need a legit roster that is complete. And the only way it's complete is if you're stacking players on top of players. You're stacking players on top of players, and that's what the Bears are doing. You know what I mean? The wide receiver, Luther Burden, Devin Duvernay, you know, Zacchaeus. You still got Tyler Scott in the fold somewhere. I mean, they have weapons, bro. Mm-hmm. They got weapons. Young weapons. So not only is it going to be competitive in practice, which is something that they didn't do last year because Matt Eberflus didn't want competitive. Shane Waldron didn't call anybody to the table and hold people responsible. So now you're going to see a situation where guys going to have a chip on their shoulder. They're going to get into fights in practice. They're going to be some of these things that go on, like in Detroit's practices, right? Mm-hmm. That's where they're from. So it's not going to be this lovey-dovey, oh, you know, we're the Bears, everybody love us, blah, 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 and we're on TV and all this, you know, that garbage, man. That set the tone for the entire season last year, bro. And this year, you're going to have a competitive locker room. Guys are going to be fighting for positions, whether it be 1, 2, 3, 4 on the depth chart, whatever the case may be. And you're going to see that, and it's going to show up on the football field, I believe.
That's a fact.
Bro, they got dogs. I don't understand this, bro. Like the fan base wanted an offensive minded head coach like Ben Johnson, a guy that's considered like a genius. We went out and finally paid money, you know, and then you don't want to give him a weapon, or you want to say, oh, well, we got a tight end, we don't need another tight end.
Right.
Like, no, bro, you need weapons. For not only do you need weapons for the competition, right, and to create situations and put defenses in a bind because you have so many weapons. Mm-hmm. But guys tweak ankles. So now Colston Loveland, like you say, he gets hurt in training camp. That's God forbid. I'm just saying, he tweaks ankle. He's out for 2 weeks. Now you're going to thank God you had Cole Kmet and the backup. What's the guy we brought from Miami? You're going to be glad you have these veterans because you can still run a functional offense. You know, Luther Burden does whatever, or DJ Moore does whatever. You can say Zacchaeus, you know, you step up. We got Rome Zacchaeus and we got Luka Burden and we got Devin Duvernay. We still feel all right. Man, like, I don't get it, bro. Like, you want Ben Johnson to have a arsenal ahead at his display. You don't want him to come here and be limited on what he can do. That 12 personnel, I posted a bunch of clips that people broke down on Twitter. I had a whole thread. The 12 personnel, what they do is dangerous because essentially Colston Loveland is a wide receiver.
Yes.
But he can block. So you can come out with 12 personnel, you can change the formation to where he just splits out wide like a wide receiver. Now you basically in 11. Mm-hmm. And now and they have base personnel, so now they trying to guard this dude with a linebacker.
Yep.
And you cannot guard him with. And then your running backs, all of them can catch passes out of the backfield. Swift is a hell of a receiver out of the backfield.
Yep.
We know Manunga can catch passes out of the backfield. LaRoshan can catch passes out of the backfield. So you can come out on 12 personnel, force them to go on base. You just run it, and then all of a sudden you got all these guys going out like 5 wide receivers. 12 personnel. This is the stuff that Ben Johnson does. That's the reason why he plays 12 personnel. People are like, oh, well, 12 personnel is archaic. No, that's because that tight end is like a wide receiver.
Yes.
LaPorta's like a wide receiver. he can basically put him in an inline like a tight end and then flex him out like a wide receiver. And then you got a nickel cornerback. Who's going to guard? A nickel can't guard him.
And a linebacker can't stay with him.
He can't guard him. Right? And if you put a big corner on him, that means you took a corner off DJ Moore or Roma Dunze. Good luck, player. So you put the nickel corner, you put the third best cornerback on DJ Moore, Roma Dunze. I hope fans are understanding what the hell is going on.
They don't. So
It's a do or die. And not only that, you said the line. Thank God we paid attention to the line, because last year it was like, who's going to guard all these wide receivers? Well, they didn't have to guard them because our line was trash.
Yes.
And we said it. I said the Bears need to change out at minimum three offensive linemen.
Yes, you did.
Most likely they need to change out four. The only person they should keep,
Darnell Wright.
And everybody else needs to be changed. And what the hell did Cole do? He changed everybody out. He said Peel is going to be starting, going to be getting reps at left tackle. So that means Braxton Jones, your ass on notice. And he probably won't be back next year because we drafted a tackle in the second round.
And the fact that he's coming into the OTAs and everything else, you know, with a bum leg. You know what I'm saying? He's coming off an injury. So he still has to work his way back into it. So now when he does work his way back into it, we're not put on hold at all. Because we got the young rookie starting over here at left tackle, and hopefully he'll hold his own. So now you got to work your ass off to get your spot back, homie.
And that's what we mean by competitive.
Absolutely, like competition.
The roster is going to be competitive, bro. You cannot, you're not going to be able to sit and let those injuries take their time. You know what I mean? You're going to have to put in the work to get back on the field. That's what a lot of this is. People don't realize it. When a guy gets injured, it's not always... It's how much you put in your rehab. It's what you doing to get back onto the football field. Guys that go the extra mile to get back on the football field a little bit earlier, there's a reason for that, and that's because they got a love for the game, or they don't want to lose their job. Because let's be real, a lot of people say injury shouldn't make a person lose their job, but the fact is that they do.
They do.
It does. It does.
It's the truth.
That's just a fact of the matter.
Should ask Tom Brady. What I'm saying?
Exactly.
It's a true blessing.
Exactly. It happens. So, at the end of the day, what's Braxton Jones going to be doing to get back on the football field? You know what I mean?
Are you taking any deer antler extract? Are you doing taking any beef roids there from Balco?
And I'm put this out there too. I'm gonna put this out there. Like, a lot of Bears fans was laughing at my man's in Detroit that put the video. They had the video out for him doing his rehab with his knee.
Yeah,
Hutchinson. Yeah. A lot of Bears fans is laughing at that, but the boy is putting in work.
Absolutely.
Yep. I want to see video of Braxton doing it.
Yeah.
Then, you know, until I see that, I'm not laughing.
You know, Bears fans
I'm holding my laughing to myself.
Bro, Bears fans are really stupid. And what they don't understand is, and this is honestly God true, this is why I say 95% of our fan base is fucking dumb. Okay? The man is not even a year removed from a catastrophic knee injury like that. Of course he's going to be gimpy. Of course he's putting in work and doing everything. Oh, he don't look good. Bitch, it's April. May. Mm-hmm. It just turned May.
Yeah.
Okay?
No, when I first seen it, I was like, why did they put that out? I thought Detroit put it out, but it's the NFL that put it out, I think. And, you know, hey, man, they drumming up support for
the brand.
You know what I mean? For the Shield.
Absolutely.
That's what they're doing. But hey, you know what I mean? I can't knock the kid. I mean, six months after his surgery, broken, his leg was broken in half, basically. Like,
bro,
you know, you're going to be gimpy. You know what I'm saying?
He'll be back. He'll be back around Thanksgiving. Okay?
Dude, I'm just being honest. I had a Jones fracture, and it lingered for 9 months with me, man. You know what I mean?
So, oh, yeah. You know, Aiden will be back around Thanksgiving. All right? Right before the lines will be fine. Right before you get into the thick of the schedule, right before they get into the playoff push, because they will be there, folks. They're gonna be okay, and then he's gonna come back at full force, whatever. But
I'm just saying, I just know that he's out there working.
Oh,
I
absolutely.
Don't see Braxton doing that.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying he ain't. I'm not saying he ain't.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's hard to laugh at somebody else who's putting
absolutely.
In that work, and you see him putting in that work.
Absolutely. You know what I mean? You know, and again. Like I said, what's the left tackle we got? Ozzie, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we got Ozzie out there at left tackle, you know, from Boston College. So the young man is smart, you know, left tackle. Let's see if he's solid. If he's solid, you know, just because he's there doesn't necessarily negate the fact that, damn, Braxton Jones, you know, it may be a wrap. We don't know. That's why we have camp. You know what I'm saying? That's why they have the battles. That's why they do what they do. But for Bears fans, worried, you know, about Aiden and all that, we got our own shit to worry about. Personally, we got our own shit to worry about. Let's focus on what the fuck we can do to make this team better. We got, you know, the all the, and it, which draws me into, again, all this bullshit that I've been seeing on the internet about, oh, the Bears are, they've reached out to ask about the running back in Seattle, Kenneth Walker. No, like, where are y'all? Are y'all really believing this shit? Like, what makes you think?
You got these dumb people that follow and believe.
These stupid ass kids hop their ass on Twitter and, you know, just because they put NFL after their fucking name or, you know, get a couple of their stupid ass minions with 90 burner accounts each motherfucking each person, you know what I'm saying, to follow their stupid ass accounts. Now all of a sudden you're an NFL insider, but none of your shit never hit. None of your shit never hit.
Get a good guess.
Like, bro, what the fuck are you lying for? Okay, you ain't getting paid for this. You're not gonna become popular from this. For those that are listening to the podcast, let me break this down to you. Okay, you're not gonna get any motion off that shit. So cut it the fuck out. Just because, you know, you throw shit up on the wall a million times and one time it stick, you think you a fucking insider? Cut it out, bro. You don't know shit about the shit that's going on in fucking Hallis Hall. And I promise you, NFL Network ain't checking for you. ESPN ain't checking for you. Fox Sports ain't checking for you. CBS ain't checking for you. And neither is NFL Network. Okay? Nobody's gonna come to your sorry ass and ask you shit about what's going on with the shit that's going on with the Chicago Bears. I promise you. All right? Because they know you're fucking lying, okay? Stop it. That ain't gonna get you on. It's not. All right? You gotta really do the fucking work, man. And given the fact that you don't have no connections in Hallis Hall, cut it the fuck out. Why would they tell a meaningless ass you anything about what's going on with this franchise and not tell insiders like Adam Schefter or Ian Rappaport? So you got something on this squad that nobody else got, right? I wish y'all stop with this shit because it screams unemployment. I promise you. Nothing screams unemployment the way you motherfuckers be on Twitter with this stupid shit about your fucking inside quote-unquote sources. Fact. And what the source, I made it up, bro. Word cited. Crack pipe. Fuck out of here with that shit. It just, I'm sorry, I don't mean to deter from this. I don't mean to deter from the podcast, but man, it just pisses me off when I see shit like that. Oh, the Bears have reached out and asked about Kenneth Walker in a possible trade. Motherfucker, we just got off the draft. What are they trading? We just came from the draft. What the fuck they trading? A 2026 pick? And we just came off the draft?
It'd be so illogical, bro. And then the team, like, the I think it was, who was it? Shout out to OG Greg Gabriel. He was talking about, like,
OG.
Somebody. And they were like, why would they trade him because the draft's over? So if like Brees Hall or whatever, if we trade for him, they won't even have a running back.
Exactly.
So why the hell would they trade him? Like to hurt, just make themselves worse to make us better? Like this ain't Madden, bro. They just think, oh, we just take this player off their team and give him a fourth round draft pick. That should do it. Like, it don't work like that, bro.
That'll get him on my side.
Don't worry, then if you want a new contract, you're already paying DeAndre Swift. You can't even cut him this year.
Exactly.
So if you add a running back, it's going to be a cheap option. You're not going to trade for some running back you're going to pay $10 million a year. Because now you got two high-priced ass. Come on, man.
Bro, I don't know. Like, the wildest sense. Shit. Like the wildest shit. Sense, Kenneth Walker. They're going to pick up fucking my man from who used to play for Cleveland. That may be a cheap option that's out there. Again, he ain't breaking the bank. I could tell you that.
No.
But again, his knee exploded, so.
Twice.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. I just don't.
Hey, man, but he putting in work, too, though.
Oh, absolutely.
He is.
Did y'all see that video?
Yeah. He was deadlifting. Yeah. I think it was like, he was deadlifting, I want to say, like 600 pounds. He was cleaning, power cleaning. Deadlifting and power cleaning about 600 pounds.
He was doing the jumps over the hurdles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he had hurdles lined up, just hopping over them one after another, not taking no steps between.
Yeah, that was crazy.
That's nasty, bro. Dude is explosive still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I can see. But they ain't go offer him no multi-year deal. It'll be like a 1 year try it, prove it deal type of thing, right?
Dude's 29 years old, bro. It's the end of the line. He's trying to come back and trying to get one more, you know, one or two more seasons, get a little bit more money. Maybe he can find his way onto a team that has a shot to win the Super Bowl. That's what it's about for him right now.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, the fake insiders. They're true, bro. They're true.
Crazy.
And I think that's what caused a lot of chaos in the community, man. It seems like we got a lot of Facebook people. Well, I don't know if it's like a newer generation of Bears fans dude that's popping up, but it can get crazy, bro. And it creates a lot of toxicity in the fan base. But we should be excited as hell right now.
Absolutely.
You know, we should be excited as hell, and there's still like that element in the Bears community, man. So going forward, we kind of touched on this. And I know everybody got strong feelings about this, about who to pressure on. And I had strong feelings about this last time I didn't get a touch on it, and mainly from the media. I'm gonna take my shot at the media who say that it's a lot of pressure on Caleb Williams. He has to do it right now. And the reason why I'm taking a shot at them, bro, is because they were the main ones saying this is a generational talent. All you got to do is take him, Justin Fields off his team, put Caleb Williams in his place, and everything's going to be fine. They ignored the fact that the line needed to be fixed, and we kept saying that four out of five positions probably needed to go. We told them that Eberflus was a buffoon and his ass should have been jettisoned into the fucking outer rim, shot into the sun. He shouldn't have had 30 seconds in a row with Caleb Williams. That's why Caleb Williams was looking at his ass crazy when they did the Hard Knocks. He was looking at him like, this motherfucker don't know what the fuck he's doing. Right? So he shouldn't have had a shot. And I believe coaching matters. I believe Ben Johnson is a hell of at least an offensive play caller and an offensive architect. Right? We'll see if he can run a whole team. But as far as running the offense, the man is the truth, right? Yeah. So I believe because they invested in O-line and because they actually got weapons and got an actual offensive mind, and I think Caleb Williams is going to be all right. I ain't saying he's going to be perfect. He's going to miss some throws. He's going to take a dumbass sack, and he's going to throw a pick. But that's the nature of the beast. It's going to take him several years, 4 or 5 years, when he just becomes that Tom Brady type quarterback, when he's just picking apart the defense and seeing everything for his coming. He's gonna have his lumps, but I think he's gonna have a hell of a season. I think the Bears offense is gonna have a hell of a season, you know, and we'll see what goes from there. So as far as the pressure, everybody's gonna say Caleb Williams, but I think ultimately, and I still say this, I don't think he's gonna get fired, but I think the pressure is on Ryan Poles, because you got what you want. You got the coach you want. You got the quarterback you want. It all got to come together. We got to get a winning season, bro.
This shit got to yield fruit.
You guys have a winning season. Yeah.
This shit got to yield fruit.
I think he's going to be fired, but I think media now ain't like he's been the lover boy for the media. I think he's going to start getting a lot of pressure if we don't start shaking something.
You think he's been the lover boy for the media?
I think they got it. Yeah, man. I mean, Hard Knocks, they were loving him because of what he did with the DJ Moore trade. And he got Ben Johnson this year. So we've been the offseason champs. Now it's time
for us running.
Now it's time for us to start winning. I think from the national media, he hadn't had a lot of heat. He might have had it locally, but not national.
Okay. I can see that. I think, go ahead. I'll let Nas go. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
I'm with you on that, man. I say Caleb and Poles. I say them two more so again. And again, the reason why, just to piggyback off what you stated, this shit got to start yielding fruit at some point. You know, we got the pieces in play. You got the quarterback you wanted. You know, after you jettisoned the previous quarterback, you got the quarterback you wanted. You got the coach you wanted. You put the players in here. Some didn't pan out, but you know, a lot did. So going into this season after last season, what I can't, you know, and the reason why I say I blame Poles, and he's going to get some coaching staff. You could have put Ben Johnson here last year. And we were speaking about this previously. As Will stated, he seen that the Chicago job wasn't up for grabs, so Ben Johnson backed out and was like, "No, I'm good." You know, again, he knew that the Bears were going to have Caleb Williams as their quarterback his rookie year. So at that point in time, if you would have walked away from Flus, Ben Johnson would have been the quarterback a year earlier, and he would have had Caleb Williams earlier to work with, and Caleb would have never had to go through Shane Waldron and never had to go through Eberflus and the shit that he suffered last year at the hands of that piss poor fucking coaching staff. So I blame Ryan Poles for that, because you should have cut bait when you knew it was time to cut bait. As we stated before on the pod, if you were going to get rid of Justin, then Eberflus should have left too. Plain and simple. You start with a whole new regime. Whole new regime. Whole new regime, whole new staff. And he failed to do that. Therefore, you put your quarterback behind by a year. I don't give a fuck what nobody say. You can sit up here and say, Caleb's this, Caleb that, Caleb this, but Caleb numbers were near the bottom of the fucking league last season in every statistical category. That's just because you put him with a piss poor coaching staff. I don't know. Again, I'm not saying that it was his ability. I'm not saying that it was Caleb's ability. Obviously, what we had to go off of was a piss poor coaching staff. So, okay, now, boom. Caleb's 1 year behind his nemesis, and they forever going to be tied at the hip because they went 1-2. He's 1 year behind his nemesis, Jaden Daniels. And this is why I say Caleb, it's a lot of pressure on him, because, again, your nemesis sped the clock up. Ain't no fucking learning curve no more, bruh. It ain't. And that's just the honest to God truth. Jaden did what he did his rookie season, and everybody tried to tell. And another issue that falls on Ryan Poles is you didn't interview Jaden Daniels. You didn't bring him in. You didn't do none of that shit. So obviously,
I don't care about that at this point, bro.
No, let me get to my point. Let me get to my point.
I'm gonna say one thing to you too.
Yeah.
Who else did Dan Quinn, who's a hell of a coach, by the way, who I wanted the Bears to hire when they rounded
Cliff Kingsbury. You didn't bring in Cliff Kingsbury, which was the dumbest shit in the world to me. Who knows him better than the motherfucker that worked with him when he was in college? So this is what I'm saying. The clock has been sped up due to the fact that you didn't do your due diligence, and you already had in your mindset that this was the quarterback that I was taking. Fuck everybody else. That's very negligent on being a general manager. No matter what you went with, instead of making a decision with your mind, you made a decision with your heart. And boys make decisions with their hearts. Smart men make decisions with their minds. And just the fact that you overlooked the fact that you didn't even bring him in to interview him to see, damn, okay, I got these two quarterbacks here. What they're saying, both of them are the last two Heisman Trophy winners. And you don't interview one, you don't interview the other one? You bring Caleb in and fuck everybody else. That was stupid, bro. Because he could have did something or said something to you in that fucking meeting that could have made you think and like, damn, well, it ain't as clear cut as I thought. They neck and neck. And so the fact that you ignored that puts a lot of heat on you as well, given what he did last season. So again, this is why I say he sped that clock up on Caleb Williams. So now he had the coaching staff. I wouldn't say he had the better supporting cast, because these motherfuckers picked one right after one another. And actually the Bears had the better cast because the motherfuckers were 7-9 the previous year. They wasn't a true number one pick.
Right.
They went 7-9.
We got that pick from somebody else, yeah.
Exactly. They went 7-9. Carolina. So they wasn't ass like the Commanders was. So going back to what I was saying, Jaden Daniels had the season that he had. Caleb Williams had the season that he had. Going into this year, if Jaden Daniels ain't going to get no worse, he's not going to get worse. Okay.
You can have a sophomore slump,
though. You can, but I just don't see it happening with him.
Yeah, CJ Stroud did.
Barring injury, I don't see it happening. Barring injury, I just don't see it happening. The boy too smart, man. Boy too smart. You know.
I got one caveat. I'm gonna keep it short. I think coaching matters, and that coaching staff, Dan Quinn and Coach Kingsbury, are better than anybody on the show. And if you were to flip their ass, similar seasons, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because Jaden Daniels would have came here and got his shit pushed in too.
Oh, that's a fact. But see, the thing is that, again, this is what I said. Poles put his quarterback in this position. He put him behind a ball early. And that's he has no one to blame but him and him alone. It's his fault for that. You should have moved on from the coach.
Man, we talking hindsight, bro. Like it's easy to do that, but I'm just gonna be honest. I'm gonna be 100% honest. I don't believe that Poles, everybody's on his back right now because, oh, we should have fired Eberflus, Black Dan, blah, 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 this, that, and the third. And I get it. I get it. Ideally, from an outsider's perspective, looking at it, when you switch quarterbacks, you switch everything over. That's the way you do it, right? And I understand that. But let's be real. Eberflus had 2 years, right? And he was given 2 years. And I'm just going to be honest with you, right? I'm not speaking hindsight 2020. Ideally, that would be ideal thing to do is to switch everything over at one time. Boom, this, that, and the third. But at the same time, when you got a guy that comes in and he takes the coaching job, he has 2 years, he's given the talent and the roster, which was a teardown, and expected to produce. What he did was had the defense solid. So you can hang your hat on that. So I'm going to stay consistent when I say what I said previously. I would have gave him another shot because he had the defense at that point in time playing very well. And you figure, okay, let him get rid of this hire that he had, bring in a new offensive coordinator. Every coach gets to do that. What head coach hasn't fired a coordinator and gotten another one? Because things wasn't working out. It's happened before. So he didn't get the opportunity to do that. You gave him the opportunity to do that. You bring in Waldron. Waldron don't pan out. Now I'm looking at Eberflus and I'm like, okay, you have a problem with your decision-making on hiring coaches.
Two staffs. Two
coaching staffs. That's the situation that we were sitting at. So, you know what I mean? I understand why Poles kept him. I'm not going to sit here and act like I don't understand it. I do. You feel me? Ideally, it would be nice to part ways with everybody at the same time. And that, for that very reason, is why I don't believe Poles should have pressure on him right now. You just got your coach. This is your quarterback. This is basically his rookie year, in my opinion. You're matching him up with this Ben Johnson. If you're going to say that Poles is under pressure and things don't go well and he gets fired, bro, we doing the same thing, bro. And if that happens, I don't know. I don't know how long I could just sit here and be a Bears fan. If they fire him, say they open the season and Caleb's not playing well or whatever, for whatever reason they have issues. If you fire him and move on, bro, you're sitting here in the same situation. You're going to hire a new GM, and then he's got to, you know, come in and deal with the coach and the quarterback. He's going to want to get rid of somebody. Let's be real. So we spinning our wheels, bro. So for people to be peddling that bull crap, to me is bogus. I don't agree with it. I'm not gonna try to turn the heat up on Poles for that very reason, because I want to see patience. You gotta have patience at some point in time with the football team. You gotta let things mesh and come together. Detroit, it didn't happen overnight. It took them a minute to get to that point. They went through some problems, and they got to that point, though. Same thing with other teams. You gotta let them mesh. If you feel like you have the right situation, we didn't have it before, but right now I feel like they do. And I feel like what they're doing is different from what they've always done, right? They didn't get the second guy. They didn't get the dark horse. You know what I mean? Somebody who might turn out well as a coach. They went and got the highly coveted Ben Johnson. Then you went to the draft and you addressed the needs of the team without acquiescing to the media and fan base who was begging for Ashton Jeanty. So at this point in time, I'm looking at the organization. I'm saying, okay, I see them moving differently. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to see how this works out. I'm not ratcheting up. No heat on the dude when I see him moving differently. They're doing things way differently than what they did 2 years ago, 1 year ago, 5 years ago, 8 years ago. This organization is trending upwards and they're making the right decisions. So at that point in time, now it's calling for a little bit of patience. We got to be patient. I'm not going to ratchet the heat up on him, dude. Can't do it.
I'm not going to. And I don't believe it should be, but I think I'm saying if and I totally don't think they're not gonna. I think they're gonna do well. But I think the media, the national media, may put a bit more pressure on him.
They're gonna put heat on
if they don't start with him. Yeah, they're gonna put heat on.
Put a lot of heat on.
I ain't saying we are. I'm not. I see the vision, but I actually do, bro. I'm telling you, like, I really do, and I haven't felt this way, you know, before. You know, you trying to talk yourself into the Bears doing something like, oh, they might, and I ain't saying they gonna win the championship, right? You talking yourself into, oh, we drafted this guy, I don't really like him. But fuck, you know, like, I ain't really like Mitch,
for every
but
good
I was
thing.
Like, yeah, you looking trying to find the positive. All right, we limit to how many times he's throw, and you know, we get a good defense. No, like, I actually say, like, okay, man, they might be doing something. I ain't saying they're about to win the championship. It's gonna take them some years. They got to make the playoffs first, right?
Yeah, they got to work.
Yeah, so we got work to do, but you like the direction that the team is going, and mainly because they spent a lot of investment in the trenches. You know, getting Joe Tooney, signing Dahlman, who was the number one center. We usually don't get that. We usually get the backup center from Minnesota, you know, that's trying to go to a starting position. You know, we actually got starters. We actually got Hall of Famers, Pro Bowlers, you know, so you like that. You like that. They didn't do anything really. They didn't do anything dumb. You know? Usually the Bears do some dumb shit. They didn't do anything dumb. You know? Man, I think that's what fans start talking that trade Cole Kmet shit, because that's usually what the Bears do. The Bears get a good tight end and then trade somebody or cut somebody or do some dumb shit. You're like, why'd you do that? We get a new coordinator, we trade away Greg Olsen. That's usually what the Bears do. They usually do dumb shit like that.
Look, that was the first thing I said when they picked up Colston Loveland. Don't trade him. Because everybody want to talk this trade shit, right? Everybody.
The first thing that happened was trade
Cole Kmet. Now we done picked up Luther Burden. Oh, trade DJ Moore. Like, what the fuck are y'all talking about?
Get rid
about,
of Rome.
Like, damn, we can't have weapons. We just got to have one. Just one weapon. Just give him the ball all the time. This ain't Tecmo Bowl, motherfuckers. Where you just get a ball to Bo Jackson and shit and just let him run on.
Bo Jackson and Walter Payton is all you needed on Tecmo Bowl.
Bo Jackson, Walter Payton, just give him the ball and get the hell out the way. This ain't video games, folks. You need multiple fucking weapons. How you think Philly won the goddamn Super Bowl? AJ Brown, you know, Devontae Adams, Saquon Barkley, Goddard. Man, they had weapons. They have weapons, okay? Weapons on top of weapons on top of weapons on top of weapons. That's how you win in this league, folks. You stack your roster. You don't have addition by fucking subtraction, crackheads. Stop with this shit.
Hey, let me ask y'all a question real quick. When it comes to Ryan Poles, how much of it was the decision to keep Eberflus when you drafted Caleb Williams? How much of that do you think came from the organization at the time?
I don't know. Ooh. I can't answer that one.
Ownership.
I don't know, because again, I truly think them motherfuckers stay out the way, bro. And
you think they've always stayed out the way? You think?
I think on that one,
because we always understand the whole situation where they never fire nobody in season. They did last year. Because it was egregious what Eberflus did in that Detroit game. I was there, by the way. I hated that.
Yeah.
Man, I wanted to jump on the field so bad. I ain't gonna lie.
Absolutely.
I wanted to get on the field. And he was just standing there looking stupid too.
Yeah, befuddled, puzzled.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, I do believe that they went as status quo until they hired Kevin Warren. And I think Kevin Warren, that was his decision to fire Eberflus midseason. He's like, this motherfucker gotta go.
You're probably right.
I think Kevin Warren was like, this motherfucker gotta go.
And that's all I'm saying. I think something has changed. Now, I'm not saying that they make football decisions, but there's the money situation and things like that. I think a lot of that is tied up with, well, we don't want to be paying this coach. If we fire him, we still gotta pay him and hire somebody else, blah, blah, blah. Let's understand that the Bears are not the richest owners in the NFL.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They make their money off the Bears. They don't make their money somewhere else. You see what I'm saying?
Solely
these
off
other guys, Robert Kraft, he got money everywhere. Mm-hmm. Jerry Jones got money all over the place.
Oil money.
The Kroenke over there in LA, he got tons of money, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is their this is their hobby. You know what I mean? You throw money at this. This is just so with the Bears, they don't do that. So they're a little bit more frugal than most teams. Now I'm not giving Ryan Poles an excuse, right? But I'm saying I just from an outsider's looking in, I ain't got no knowledge of the situation, but I've watched the Bears my whole entire life, and they've always done things the cheapest of cheap ways. Always. They don't want to pay people. They don't want to hire the top-notch coaches. They don't fire people in season because they don't want to pay them for them to leave. And now you see the Bears doing things much differently. Just look at it. Over the past,
6 months.
13, 14 months, bro.
Six months.
Who's been here that long?
Kevin Warren.
They said it.
Kevin Warren. That's what I'm saying.
That's what I said.
So it's something changed, and I think Kevin Warren has changed some things in that organization that has them doing things differently. That's why I'm saying I'm just preaching patience. That's all I'm preaching.
Yeah, I don't think the Bears are going to fire Poles. I mean, something crazy would have to happen. He's giving up.
Stupid. He'd have to. Yeah, he'd have to crazy. Do what my man's. What's the guy's?
Just Tuck.
No. I'm talking about the defensive coordinator that got fired. Remember?
With the Pornhub account. Yeah, with the heavy porn on the laptop.
It had to be something like that, bro.
Yeah, bro was. He was
watching
tripping.
That hardcore, bro. Watching that hardcore.
Yeah, getting that Uncle Shay Shay on over there.
Oh God!
Watching him getting choked out.
Them OnlyFans.
Yeah, pounded into submission in a Ford Nelson, in a full Nelson.
Somebody out here doing slave play.
Right. Choke her till she blackout.com and shit. Like, whoa. Whoa.
Oh man.
18
no, I
th- and fresh.
I think he gonna stick around. I think the Bears are going to be all right, man. I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs, but I think they're going to be fun. They're going to be one of them teams where you're going into the next year. They're going to be like, man, they're going to be like legitimately. Like the next year, people going to be saying, like, remember how Detroit with that team before they became that team? That's going to be us next year.
Yeah.
Where they're going to be like, they just missed the playoffs, but boy, I would not want to play the Bears next year.
Yeah.
You know, I would not want to play Chicago next year. Them boys are about to start a dynasty type of. You know, that's the way it's set up. Because even like the whole thing about trading players, we were telling them like it's so much young talent like Rome and Luther on rookie deals. You don't have to worry about paying them
nobody.
Before DJ Moore contract. Same thing with Loveland. You like you still you don't have to pay him for another
they
4 or 5 years.
Cole commit trade him because he's why?
You don't have to pay all of them.
Yeah. It's the first year they got him for at least 5 years if they won without having to give him a contract. Cole Kmet will be done. He's only got 2 years left on this deal.
Yeah.
So it's like, what do you need to trade Cole Kmet for? What do you need to cut him for? What do you, Bears fans, bro? It's like we got one guy, get rid of everybody else. No, you need depth. Because what if he goes down?
Facts.
Like you said, 12 personnel.
Yeah.
That's something we haven't been able to run successfully in
ever.
Years.
Ever.
Ever.
I think the only time we ran 12 personnel is when we had Clark and Olsen at the same time, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I think that was Olsen's rookie year. Shit, that was a long time ago. A very, very long time ago.
It's been a while.
So.
It's been a while.
But yeah, just modulating off that. You know, shit, it's going to be exciting, man. Of course, we start up OTAs pretty soon. Schedule releases next week. Or this week.
Oh, yeah.
Is it this week?
This week?
I didn't even know.
This week or next week. I know schedule release is coming up. Definitely be excited to that because that's when I sit back with my damn calendar and start marking off games I'm going to be at.
Right.
You know,
oh, yeah. I'm definitely,
every year
definitely
I try to make the Bears and Lions game at Ford Field. You know.
Oh, yeah. I'll be there. I'll be there again.
Yeah. I try to make that every single year. So, outside of that, I try to make the first home game if I can, because shit, I know the last time I've been to Soldier Field, bro, they played the Giants, and it was freezing out there. Freezing. That's when Robert Quinn broke the sack record.
Yeah.
I had some good-ass seats, though, but yeah, it was cool. But I try to make a home Bears game in September. And then, of course, try to go to the Bears. Of course, it seems like the Bears and Lions play on Thanksgiving every damn near every year or every other year. So, and I try to make that one. So I'm waiting on that schedule release to come out for sure.
Yeah, I'm definitely rolling through. Last year, I was like, man, I ain't going to see them sorry ass motherfuckers. this year, I got some excitement. I ain't made no attempt last year to see you. I barely
right. You went to Justin Fields game at LA Stadium.
LA.
Yeah. That game you wanted to jump over and hit up.
Yeah, I want to jump off right now. I was looking at Matt Nagy right there. I was like, I can jump over and tackle that motherfucker, dude.
Shat.
So hopefully, man, the 2018 season was cool because that was like, went to some fun games during that season. That was a fun time to be in. That was like the last, I remember when I went to Frisco when they beat up Frisco and they start fighting on the sideline.
Yeah.
Because they hit Mitch. Yeah, that was a fun game. That was a fun game.
We won that game.
Yeah, we won that game. We stomped them, dude. We took over Levi, bro. It was like Bear fans everywhere, bro.
Yeah.
And I went to Washington when Mitch threw that impossible pass to Taylor Gabriel.
Oh, yeah.
That was crazy to watch live. Yeah, I mean, we need some times like that, man, when it was fun to be a Bears fan again.
Absolutely,
it's a good time when Bears are good.
Man. Oh, by the way, let me show y'all. Let me just mention this real quick, since we was kind of like on that subject of Washington, but the NFL, I think it was NFL.com, they released something saying the top 10 games of the season that will be played. Now the schedule is not out yet, but just they know who everybody's gonna play, basically, right? So the top 10 games, the Bears got the number 6, and guess who that's against?
Detroit.
Washington.
Mm. Oh,
so okay. So like you said, I don't necessarily agree with DeVore when he says the clock is sped up on Caleb. I think Caleb's got plenty of time to do what he needs to do and kind of make things happen. But the NFL fans, media, they definitely pitting Caleb versus Jaden Daniels, and it's gonna be for years to come. You see what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
Because you know that game is more important, it says, than Baltimore, Kansas City.
Is that game in Chicago this time?
That's in. I don't know yet. I don't know. It just got Chicago versus Washington. They said that's the number 6, the top ten games of the 2025 year. That should be number 6, they say.
And what the hell should be number 1?
You know
one?
That's prime time, of course. Number 1 is going to be Kansas City and Buffalo.
Man, nobody want to see that shit.
Yeah, they do. It's Mahomes versus Allen, bro.
Man, we know the end results of that. Mahomes going to win. We know the end results of that, bro. We seen that shit. We seen that play over and over again. Like, we know the end result of that. They going to keep close until the end, and Mahomes going to fucking pull it out. Game.
Number two, they got Detroit and the Eagles. Number 3, they got the Rams and Ravens.
Why?
Number 4 is the Eagles
Rams and
the
Ravens.
Chiefs.
Fuck, want to see that?
Eagles and Chiefs. Number 4.
It's good, but like
Eagles and Cincinnati. Chiefs. That probably may be the season opener right there. Eagles
know.
And Chiefs.
Super but the Bears replay. Is on that list. They on that list against Jaden Daniels and them. So
Bears
know.
And Lions should be the most sought after game too.
For local fans, I think.
Yeah, local you fans, know what I'm saying. Yeah, Ben Johnson returns back to the Lions, back to the den is what they call it, in Ford Field.
And the Packers too, because Ben Johnson got him at Eberflus a little skin. But see, I like that though because he actually recognized them. He was like. You know, because Ben Johnson was like, hey, I like being Matt LaFleur. And Matt LaFleur was like, wow, man, he was popping off. I was like, okay.
But, dog, LaFleur ain't beat that motherfucker since he been there. He ain't beat him since he been there. Like, he done figured out they defense. Like, bro, you can't stop shit I'm doing.
Oh, that was dope, too. In the draft,
Seth Rollins.
They was home. Trolling. Actually, Detroit and Chicago was trolling
Green
all
Bay.
Them Green Bay fans in Green Bay. Because, you know, what's his name? Seth Rollins, the wrestler. Yeah. He came out, he was like, you know, Caleb is undefeated in Lambeau.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Which is true.
Yeah, it's true. Want to know.
Undefeated in Lambeau. So
it's true. That was a big deal, man. People like, we shouldn't have won that. No, bro, I don't want to hear that either, bro. That was a big game. We ain't won a green in Lambeau, so what, Josh McCown or some shit?
Yeah.
Been a while, bro. Yeah. I'll take any win against Green Bay.
Nah, it was, last time Green we beat Bay. Them, it was Jay Cutler.
Was it Jay Cutler?
We had Greg Olsen at fucking tight end. We had Greg Olsen at tight end.
No, I think it was
It can't be that long. No,
it was McCown. Then he beat him.
Oh yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. It was McCown. Okay, gotcha.
It was like the teams. Yeah, that was.
And that's when they chose Jay, and they fucked up again and chose Jay Cutler over fucking McCown, who was good for fucking Trestman's offense. McCown, he could operate the shit out that offense. With Trestman, when Trestman was OC, he could operate the shit out of that offense. The offense just ran way better. And they was putting up crazy. Remember they hung like 40-something on Dallas, then came back the next week and hung up another 40 ball? I was like, damn, this offense is balling.
Hey, now just imagine that. Imagine that with a defense.
Exactly. But we, you know, but we had old nasty ass. We had old bum ass. The fuck is that? God damn it. He was the motherfucking Michigan State head coach, dog. I can't think of his name right now, but I can. Mel Tucker, sorry ass.
Mel Tucker.
Oh my God, bro. His fucking defense was trash. Like, oh, you sorry bitch. I hate you, dog. They talk about, he's one of the great defensive minds. I'm like, where? Him and Bob Babich was like one of the two worst defensive coordinators we ever had, bro. Ever. Yeah. Ever.
Draws, bro.
Bob,
they were 50
burgers all the time.
They gonna run draws on 4th and 14 and get 20 yards, bro.
Fucking beekeepers as defensive coordinators, bro.
Oh, we got this. Turn them on downs. Nope. First down. What the fuck,
man?
Touchdown. What? 4th and 20.
Oh,
they ran
God, dog, that was his fuck. This dumb motherfucker dials up a blitz on 4th and 20, fucking 8, and fucking Julius Peppers missed him. And dog, when I seen my man throw his arm up, I said, oh my God. He just ran past this motherfucker. And I see Aaron Rodgers throw that goddamn bomb to Cobb. I destroyed my TV. I literally destroyed my TV that day. I sent the remote right through the fucking screen, bro. I was that heated. Because if we win that game, we go to the playoffs.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that. Dog, that was probably one of the worst feelings I ever felt of all fucking teams to them. This motherfucker. And what the fuck? Who was the corner then, bro? It was who was the fucking corner? Dumb motherfucker standing there just looking in the backfield.
No, the safety was the problem.
It was Chris Conte.
And the corner. Dog, the motherfucker just stood there, bro, and just watched my man just run right past him, and he's still staring in the backfield. Like, you stupid bitch, bro.
I thought we were in zone.
Dog. Oh my God!
Hey, see this why
ooh,
we deserve.
My blood still boiled from that shit.
This why we deserve this, bro. Mm. I hope we curse something the fuck out of Green Bay for the next 10-15 years.
I'm like Buddha from South Central. I want their desserts for the next 15 years. That motherfucker said, "I want shoe shines. I want his dentist, and I want his desserts for the next 15 years." Now Buddha, let's be reasonable. South Central, it's a great movie for those. Yeah. I'm pretty sure a lot of y'all ain't watched that shit, so go check it out.
OG Bobby Johnson.
That's it for me.
Yeah, that's it, man. So that's all I got.
We appreciate y'all rocking with us.
Definitely.
Wow.
Definitely, and we definitely gonna come with something else. Like I said, a little later on this week. Depending on, you know, if any news, anything come out, we'll definitely be here to talk about it, chop it up, break it down. But folks, I'm just going to be honest, it ain't a lot of shit happening right now. So, you know, I mean, we can possibly talk about O-line depth, talk about D-line depth.
Yeah, we got to get to talking about this defense, because we didn't talk about them at all this week. So maybe we'll talk about them next week or something.
Absolutely. Talking about, you know, again, like I said, I want Jaquan Brisker to be out there, man. I just don't want dude to get another concussion, man. He got to stop leading with his head and start leading with his shoulder. Seriously. Because one more concussion, man, it may be over with for him. The way they painting it. But then again, you know, we'll dig into that next week about, you know, the shit between him and Eberflus. Because I don't know. I don't know if Eberflus was trying to keep him out or what. But the tweets that Brisker was sending out, bro. He was always
talking about he was ready to go. And, exactly. You know, it's good to be back on the grass. And
exactly.
I don't know, man. That's a different. It's hard because you're not there, man. We don't know what's really going on with the injury or whatever.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much it.
Defense. Until next time, we out.
Peace.